This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can watch our TV show on Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. The second face-off between the two major party candidates, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, on Sunday night has pushed the election in favor of the Democrat. Both candidates were targets of embarrassing revelations on the eve of the town hall-style debate, with the WikiLeaks release of emails from Clinton's campaign referring to her paid speeches on Wall Street, and a Washington Post expose of Trump's conversation with TV host Billy Bush from over a decade ago, referring to his habit of kissing, grabbing, and assaulting women when he felt like it. But Trump's revelations hit far harder than Clinton's. With less than a month before the election, we turn today to the author of a brand new book about Trump. In Trump Unveiled, Exposing the Bigoted Billionaire, author John K. Wilson turns each aspect of the candidate's persona into a chapter, such as Trump the Narcissist, Lying Trump, Bankrupt Trump, Racist Trump, and Sexist Trump. John K. Wilson has written the earlier book Patriotic Correctness, Academic Freedom, and Its Enemies. He now joins me to discuss Trump Unveiled. Welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us. And let's first talk about the latest news before we get into your book as well. I'm assuming that you weren't able to fold into your book, which is an ebook, you weren't able to fold in some of the latest news. The Washington Post had this bombshell expose on the eve of the town hall style debate, where they basically captured video and audio of Billy Bush and Donald Trump from about 11 years ago. They were both mic'd up, and their mics were hot. Whether they knew it or not is not quite clear. And they were talking about women, in particular, an actress that was going to join them. And that did join them near the end of the video. How badly has this expose damaged Trump based on what you saw at the debate and based on what you might be seeing in the polls today?
Well, I think the polls indicate that it's hurt him quite a lot. And most especially, not because it's something different than what Trump is like. My book is full of examples of his kind of sexism and his crudity, but this is Trump on tape using crude language and talking in ways that are about sexual assault. And so I think that caused a lot of conservative Republicans to finally part ways with him, whether it's John McCain or Paul Ryan or many others. And this is a huge problem for Trump because he is already suffering badly in the polls, and he's struggling to make himself more likable. And this is the sort of thing that really undercuts his efforts and really damaged his campaign in enormous ways.
Here is an excerpt of part of that conversation that was captured. We tried to find the sort of most radio-friendly part of the conversation. The vast majority of it is far too offensive to air.
I've got to use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want when they're a star, said Trump 11 years ago. I just start kissing them. I don't even wait. He, of course, went on to talk about grabbing women by their genitalia. And just pretty incredible to hear him talk about this. But John, people basically, you know, a lot of people who still defended Trump kind of dismissed it as, well, that's locker room talk. Trump, of course, himself said that. That's the kind of thing that that men do. But then Trump actually equated all of that, his misbehavior, with the fact that Bill Clinton is, has been unfaithful to his wife. But why would that be a bad mark on Clinton's wife? I mean, she would be the victim of Clinton's shenanigans, right?
Well, and that's a big problem for Trump, is that he's trying to equate his behavior with Bill Clinton, but he's not running against Bill Clinton. The other thing Trump tried to say, that he just used words and Bill Clinton's problems were actions. But in fact, Trump has been accused of sexual assault on three different occasions that I talk about in my book, but really haven't been discussed very much at all in the mainstream media.
And assaults are quite different from affairs.
Yes. No. He's had numerous affairs. He's confessed all of those. These are the three sexual assaults he's been accused of that he's denied, including with his ex-wife, Ivana, who accused him of rape and divorce proceedings, and other cases where we don't really know all the truth. In some cases, as with his wife, Donald Trump has her under non-disclosure agreements, so she really can't talk about anything he doesn't want her to talk about. And that's true of a lot of people in Trump's past. We frankly don't know a lot about Trump's past precisely because he controls a lot of his ex-wives and former employees who aren't allowed to talk about it. But certainly there are a lot of rumors that there are even worse things out there in tapes that Donald Trump has said over the years.
And before the town hall style debate, Trump trotted out a woman named Kathy Shelton, who as a child was apparently raped by a 41-year-old man who Clinton was the court-appointed defender for. And he also trotted out several other women who apparently had affairs with Bill Clinton. How did that play out? I mean, I suppose that's his effort to try to win over women voters, among whom he is losing tremendously?
Well, I think it's his effort just to attack his enemies. And obviously, I think a lot of people understand that being a court-appointed attorney does not make you responsible for the crime of the person you're defending. I think Trump's big issue is with the Bill Clinton accusers. And the irony, of course, is back in 1998, Trump attacked them and said that Bill Clinton was the victim and said that these accusers were unattractive, which is just such a typical Trump insult to use. And so now he's hauling them out and trying to use them to attack Hillary Clinton and embarrass her and humiliate her. And I don't think it's a tactic that's going to work at all.
And it's so sad, of course, because in comparison to these embarrassing revelations of Trump, I shouldn't even say embarrassing, they're just outright unbelievable, Clinton's issues become completely dismissed. I mean, the WikiLeaks release of emails from her campaign, whatever your opinion of WikiLeaks is, whether you believe Russia's behind it or not, the fact is if you look through some of those emails, it shows a cozy relationship with Wall Street, but it shows also that the Clinton campaign was worried about how progressives would view that. And if you go through those emails, there's a lot of sort of things that would have been worthy of discussion, except they were completely eclipsed by Trump. How much has Trump skewed our elections compared to earlier elections? It feels like we've never really had to deal with somebody like him in elections, and it's made media and political pundits simply have to throw out the rule book.
Well, and I think that's absolutely true. I think in Sunday's debate, Trump's performance was one of the most awful, crazy performances in a presidential debate in history, and that's really being overlooked because he has really changed the expectations. The expectations for Donald Trump are so low that he benefits from the media bias that you don't have people pointing out. I mean, what Trump did, bringing Bill Clinton's accusers, trying to put them in the family box at the debate, calling Hillary Clinton the devil, declaring that he would put her in prison if he's elected president, announcing that he disagrees with his vice president and they don't talk, describing the fact that he hasn't paid taxes for almost the last two decades, and then blaming Hillary Clinton because as senator, she did not single-handedly change the tax code to stop him from evading taxes. So you have just in addition to the dozens of lies he told and all of the extraordinary statements he makes, if any other candidate had said one-tenth of what Trump did, they would be decimated by the pundits and in the media. But Trump gets away with it because of this kind of media bias that they expect so little from him. That what he said in the debate is not as bad as what he said on the bus. And so you have that kind of media bias that actually benefits Trump.
I mean, and yet the media is also quite favorable to Clinton. I mean, the Washington Post, the New York Times have been relentlessly pushing sort of Clinton's virtues. But yet, I think that if we were to apply sort of the same standards to Trump as we do to other standard politicians, he would not be taken even, you know, one bit seriously. The latest sort of issue in the news is Trump's angry tweets about his own party. And this is just so interesting as well. He openly criticized Paul Ryan on Twitter, calling him weak and ineffective disloyal. And then he also basically said, disloyal Republicans are far more difficult than crooked Hillary. They come at you from all sides. They don't know how to win. I will teach them. How much of Trump is, and the Trump phenomenon, is a direct outcome of the Republican Party's years of using sort of dog whistle politics, but then also kind of, you know, seeing Trump as blowback, unintended consequences of what they've paved the way for?
I think that's absolutely true. I've also written books about Newt Gingrich and Rush Limbaugh, and those are two people who helped pave the way for the new Republican Party, undermining the political establishment in politics as well as in the media, and really making it possible for Donald Trump to pursue this kind of campaign. You have to remember, back in 1999, Donald Trump was trying to run for president. He was hoping to do it, and he was pro-choice, and he was calling for a 14% wealth tax, the largest tax on the rich in the history of humanity. And now, when he's trying to appeal to the Republican Party, you see someone who's calling for the most massive tax cuts on the rich in history, who is towing the conservative line. Trump doesn't actually believe in a conservative ideology. He believes only in Donald Trump. But what he's really doing for us is holding up a mirror to the Republican Party. He's showing us what's happened to the conservative movement and the Republican Party and how it's gone down the line to conspiracy theories and birthers and far-right policies. And so Trump is pursuing that to the limits, and he's taking it, and he may be blowing up the Republican Party. If he's declaring war, he announced that, you know, the shackles are off, which means that what he's been saying about the Republicans who critique him, he may get even harsher, and he may tell his supporters not to vote for them. And so he could not only bring down his own campaign, but the Republican majority in the Senate and the House.
Let's talk about your book. You have seven chapters in your book, each one focused on a different aspect of Trump. Let me just read them out. Actually, I guess eight chapters. The introduction is Trump the Narcissist, and then the next chapters are Lying Trump, Bankrupt Trump, Tyrant Trump, Paranoid Trump, Racist Trump, Sexist Trump, Careless Trump, and then the conclusion, the Trump Gamble. How did you break these chapters up? That's a lot of aspects of this one candidate. I guess he's a full package.
Yes, there's an enormous amount about Donald Trump, and I couldn't get it all in the book, but what I was trying to do was summarize and consolidate a lot of the information that just flies by on an everyday basis in a lot of the reporting about Trump, to try and analyze him and understand who he is. Because the problem is, with Trump, there's really an appalling scandal every day. There's something terrible to learn about and something that people miss all the time if they're not focusing 24/7 on Donald Trump, and hopefully no one else is doing that. So what I tried to do in the book is to try and summarize his history about racism, about sexism, about all these other things, to analyze what he is and how he thinks, from his narcissism to his conspiracy theories to his failed past as a businessman. So my attempt is to try and summarize who he is, and through that, I think, make people understand what a terrible president he would be, as well as what he reveals about sort of the problems with American politics today.
Right. A lot of people are sort of worried that Trump may lose in November, but the movement that he has unleashed and empowered will not go away. How much of the sort of Trump phenomenon do we see within the American population? Is it overblown? You know, is it just a sort of a small but very vocal minority, or is the country really in trouble?
Well, I think Hillary Clinton may have summarized it best with her basket of deplorables. About half of Trump supporters fall into that line of xenophobic, racist, sexist people who like Donald Trump because he is offensive to, you know, liberal values. But the other half, Clinton argued, were people who had been left behind, disappointed by their parties, their government, who felt like, as Trump has put, that the system is rigged against them, and that that the regular person isn't being helped by the policies in the Congress and in the White House. And I think there is that populist strain to a lot of what Donald Trump is trying to do. So a certain part of Trump's appeal is to the bigoted remainder of a lot of people in the American people, and that's worrisome. But a large part also of his appeal is his kind of phony attachment to being a populist, of speaking for the people against what he calls the corporate interests who are running things. And so I don't think a lot of the Bernie Sanders fans are going to be fooled by the con man who is Donald Trump. But I hope that a lot of politicians will listen to that, will see his populist appeal and use that to try and shift, maybe not the Republican Party, but ideally the Democratic Party, in a more populist direction and away from corporate interests.
Right. I mean, Clinton has, you know, she couldn't have picked an easier person to run against. All she has to do is not be Trump in order to pretty much win over the rest of the country. That's assuming those who are so disgusted and apathetic will actually show up to vote. They may not, in which case we'd be in trouble. But let's talk about, speaking of populism, you have a section in your book called Authoritarian Trump, which isn't discussed as much. And I thought this was really interesting. I mean, we all know about his obsession with Vladimir Putin, but you have this really interesting quote that you pulled out in an interview he did in 1990 with Playboy about his opinion of Tiananmen Square and that uprising in China. What are some of the, and if you can share that story and any others that make the case that if he were president, in addition to all the other aspects that are worrisome, that he would essentially turn into this authoritarian, you know, very, very scary type of president. He wouldn't just throw Hillary Clinton in prison and ban all Muslims. It would probably be much further than that, right?
Well, yes, and he would have enormous power as president, using and abusing his executive orders. You've seen in his past, not just in 1990, but even in 2015 during the Republican debates, he was praising China for their strength in putting down the Tiananmen Square revolt and in crushing any sort of free speech and rebellion. And Donald Trump loves that kind of strength. He keeps talking about strength as this core value. And so it's likely if he's president, he would basically sidle up with a lot of the authoritarians around the world. These are the people he now says we needed Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein left in charge. He has a love affair with Vladimir Putin. He's expressed a lot of admiration for China. So there are really authoritarians around the world that are clamoring and would love to have Donald Trump as their ally, as the U.S. president. But there's also, of course, the domestic issue of how Donald Trump would close the borders to Muslims and Mexicans and anyone else he chooses, how he would repress freedom of speech. He's already called for changing libel laws to make it easier for people like him to sue the media and stop them from saying negative things about him. He's going to impose on his administrative staff non-disclosure agreements so that no one is allowed to speak critically of him when he's president. He has all of these angles, and of course, these are just the ones that he's openly talking about. What would Donald Trump do if he had the overwhelming power of the presidency of the United States? We don't really know. And that's a frightening possibility, considering how he runs his businesses, how he's run his life, the way he's accustomed to getting his way and not having anyone criticize him, and how he reacts with vengeance and revenge against anyone who even says a critical thing about him.
There's so much more to talk about. Your book summarizes some of the worst aspects of Trump in so many different ways. We could spend hours on it. I love the sort of tour that you give of all the various conspiracies that he has at one time or another adopted. Well, where can people get a hold of your book, John? I understand it's an ebook and it can be bought online.
It's both an ebook and a print book. Uh-huh. So you can ask your local bookstore to order it or buy it there. You can also find it at TrumpUnveiled.com. It's published by Orr Books. You can go to orrbooks.com to order it as well.
And we'll post those links to our website later today. Thank you so much for joining us, John.
Thank you.
My guest is John K. Wilson. We've been talking about his latest book, Trump Unveiled, Exposing the Bigoted Billionaire. It's just out now by Orr Books. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/RU with Sonali.